hey, by the way, this is going to make you feel like death. Mm. I mean, I could barely walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I was in exactly the same position. You know, I was bedbound, and I just had to stop. You know, I believed it was killing me. You know, I didn't think. I guess what it comes down to, if you're saying about the lesson learned, is trust your body. You know, your body will let you know what's going on, and if you feel that it's getting too heavy, then stop. You know.
Congratulations, Lime Fighter! Today you had the courage to open your eyes and face another day. Welcome to Lime Voice. This show's purpose is to help you put the puzzle pieces of Lime into place. Each episode is designed to inspire, educate, and encourage you on your Lyme journey to wellness. Together we will fight. Together we will heal. Together we will live. Here are your hosts, Aaron and Sarah Sanchez.
Wishing your doctors could communicate and come up with a cohesive plan specific to your medical needs and genetics? At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach, giving you the opportunity to heal. In addition to a commitment of providing radical love and care for their patients, they are strategically located in sunny Arizona because Arizona offers the best integrative medical laws in the country. Call today to speak with one of their patient care coordinators. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Lyme Voice thanks Invita Medical for the continued support. Please reach them at 1-866-830-4576.
Hello, James.
So, are you ready to impart some words of wisdom to our audience?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Awesome. Our special guest today is James Kitchen. James is joining us from across the pond in England. He has spent much of his life battling odd symptoms that seem to have no apparent cause and has found his way out of the darkness and is here to share some of those things with us. James also has a coaching program designed to help other people. James, thanks for being here today and joining us on Lyme Voice.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So on Lyme Voice, we say all the time that fighting is a mindset.
Right.
And so, James, I know just based off of reading your website that that is true for you. Why don't you give us about a 3-minute synopsis of your journey with chronic illness and then take us into how developing a fighting mindset helped save your life?
Okay, sure. So at about age 10, I started to get a little fatigued and lose sleep. And it was just the start of what became sort of an 8 or 9 year degeneration where I was picking up more and more symptoms. I started to become light and noise sensitive, brain fog, pain, pretty much every conceivable symptom really, because I remember when I was approaching my worst, I wrote a list and there were about 40 of them. So I guess the most frustrating thing during that time was that we just couldn't work out what was wrong with me. The system in Britain is not very good for these kinds of chronic illnesses. You get kind of a broad label, which is chronic fatigue syndrome or ME. But they don't really give you any advice other than that. So you have to sort of go on your own journey. And as you mentioned with the fighting is a mindset, you know, it is on you with this illness to work out how you're going to get better and become your own scientist, if you like.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's the story of my journey, which was trying probably like 100 or so different treatments and just experimenting, you know, and failing a lot and getting worse and getting through a lot of knowledge that wasn't useful. But eventually we went to America just to seek out some of your expertise as well. Mm. And that's where I finally got a firm diagnosis of Lyme. The testing in the UK is really bad for Lyme. It just doesn't really show up even if you have it. So there was a sort of a huge relief there. And there were other aspects as well. I don't know how much you want to talk about those, but Babesia, for example, the co-infection I also had. And I'd always had a lot of allergies and various sort of sinus issues as a child. And it turns out that there was some toxic mold in my room.
Mm-hmm.
And this had sort of developed into a chronic sinus infection. And I'm pretty sure if there was a sort of a root cause for my immune system being down, it was that mold. And I do find with quite a lot of the people that I chat to that they also have sinus problems. And I think perhaps the mold being an issue is a less well-known problem, but just as important, I think.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that, you know, as we talk to different people throughout the whole United States, whether it be in Colorado or it be in the East Coast or even in Poland, you know, I mean, just different places where the mold issue can really sneak up and cause almost as much damage as any of those Babesia, any of those infections, any, you know, it just really wreaks havoc.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I find because it gets misdiagnosed, there's allergies a lot. You can often get given steroid medication and that sort of thing. And that just makes the mold grow more quickly. So yeah, there's a real sort of lack of knowledge around that area. And I think if your listeners are suffering from sort of sinus issues, they should definitely get checked for mold.
So James, what, that was a big step though for you guys even to decide to come to America for testing. How did you come to that mindset in the sense of like, okay, what we're doing is not working?
Well, I think, I started like most people who start with a condition, you know, very much following the mainstream idea of what you're supposed to do when you get ill. You know, you go to the doctor and they tell you what to do. And the whole sort of process of changing my mindset took a long time because we didn't really know where to look. And eventually my family and I came to the conclusion that America were better at treating this than the UK. So I was very ill at that time. I was in a wheelchair. I was not doing well at all. But I made the trip. And yes, there was a notable difference when we arrived. They diagnosed me pretty quickly. And yeah, that even though at the time I was very ill and perhaps I couldn't see that it was a breakthrough moment, it certainly was. It was a life-changing trip. And I think that just came about because I wasn't going anywhere fast. If anything, I was getting worse. So...
And where did you come for testing?
Yeah. I went to California and I went to a clinic there that treat, you know, the sort of general chronic illness remit of illnesses. And they really didn't take long to diagnose me. They looked at me and they went, yeah, I think you've got Lyme and mold. And it was kind of funny because, you know, we'd spent 8 years, you know, messing around.
Yeah.
And yeah, they just sort of cut straight to it. So that in many ways is one of the reasons for me starting this in the UK. I mean, I chat to people from all over the place, but the UK knowledge is so poor that, you know, I think I'm quite well placed to give some advice to people here.
Awesome.
James, one of the things that we come back to is healing is a choice. And for so many people, it's not this one-time decision. It's these small decisions
that
add up to really big decisions. And because we're not taught that, or we're not taught it in America, I don't think you guys are taught overseas either, how to really take responsibility for your health and how to change things. And so it is this long process of getting to solutions.
It's one of the vices of Western medicine. It really doesn't prepare you for healing yourself. It only prepares you for covering your symptoms.
Yeah. So what are some of those incremental choices that you guys made once you knew what you were fighting? Did they give you a plan to follow for the next few years? Was it just a lot of implementing your own protocols? Like, what did you do? And did you go back home for treatment?
Right. So, I would say we made one final mistake when I got correctly diagnosed, which is that I went on IV antibiotics, and they just destroyed my health.
Aww.
Because of, you know, that the just huge Herx reaction. And looking back on it, I now believe that antibiotics aren't the answer, really. There are much, much easier ways to heal that are a lot less damaging. But yeah, in terms of what you say about healing being a choice, I think it's just a case of discipline and knowledge. I would say those are the two things. If you following the diet, making sure you're coming at the illness from a wide range of angles, you know, investigating why this thing works for you but that thing doesn't. And it is a long-term process, you know. It does take time.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent the illness forces you to develop those mindsets. You know, you eventually learn that you're going to have to be like that if you want to be well. And I think it's good in a way. You know, it does make you stronger and more disciplined. And that's what I would say is my interpretation of that statement.
Yeah, and audience, I would really suggest you listen to what James just said, because that's years and years of trial and error. You know, what he just said about how to proceed forward, that is a hard-fought battle of wisdom. So if you can latch on to that and set your goals for, you know, it will help. It will exceed you way past trying it on your own. I mean, and that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why James has his story, is so that we can communicate to you things we've learned that will excel you past trial and error.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really important point. I was actually just going to say nice. That as well. Yeah, because I think 10 years ago when I had the first symptoms, there wasn't nearly as much information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use, you know, Lyme Voice and my website to speed things up and just speed up your learning curve. But if you have the knowledge and you have access to treatment, there's no reason you shouldn't recover, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you recommend for people who are listening in the UK? What is your like top three? If you think you have Lyme, or if you know you have Lyme and you're trying to find treatment, do you have like a top three starting point?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say get tested for not only Lyme, but the range of co-infections.
Right. Yeah.
I use the labs in Germany. I forget the name now. It's all linked on my website. But get the test for the co-infections, because some of them benefit from more specialized treatment. So if you take the example of Babesia, you know, it's really good to have anti-malarials and that sort of thing, because Babesia is a malarial type infection. So yeah, get tested for those co-infections. And then in terms of the Lyme, the sort of breakthrough I had with my Lyme was a herbal protocol. Dr. Rawls's herbal protocol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, I won't keep saying it's all on my site, but it's all written down as a...
Well, it's really helpful.
They don't have to take notes or anything. But the thing that I really felt was good about this particular herbal protocol was that it had the herbs that were upregulating the immune system and helping combat the Lyme, but it also had the support element as well, because... you know, the herxing can get so bad with all of these treatments that are actively fighting the Lyme. that it's really nice to have the sort of supportive nutrition as well that can just balance it out and make the experience a lot more pain-free, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that Dr. Rules one was a real breakthrough for me. I thought that was great. And, well, I mean, there's all sorts of things I suggest, really. But I guess the third thing would be some kind of inflammation-reducing product. One of the ones I use is a product called Rain Sol, which is like it's an anti-inflammatory mix of various seeds and so on. And the science is pretty good. It reduces inflammation and oxidative stress. And it's good to have things like that, that will just speed up your healing and just make you a bit more comfortable, you know?
Yeah. And where do you purchase Rain Sol?
It's sold on a kind of distributor type, you know, marketing network. So
Okay. You
can buy it through the link on my site, or, you know, there are all sorts of places that sell it. So yeah, it's not too difficult to get hold of.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I just keep hearing it over and over again. If people don't have massive immune support, you know, and that can be herbals, supplements, antibiotics, detox, inflammation reduced, like there's an endless amount of products and resources. But if you don't have some really go-to tools in those categories, I don't see people getting better.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. I think my perspective on this, I guess, is my sort of theory for treatment is you chuck everything you've got at it for, you know, 6 months, you know, you sort of go, you know, take it on from all sides, you know, reducing inflammation, reducing oxidative stress, herbs, killing the Lyme, you know, nutritional support, diet, meditation, you know, sorting your discipline out. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of just trying one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And then going sort of, oh, that doesn't work. But I feel that it's essential to have this kind of combination treatment, like they do with antibiotics, you know, where they have several antibiotics to kill the infection, so that if there's any resistance, the infection will still be removed. It's kind of like that to me. You have to come at it from all these different areas. And that makes the treatment a lot more effective.
It really does. And that's something, I mean, I'm kind of an all or nothing. So I'm like, oh man, if this will work, throw in three more things, you know, but to me, that is a question people ask me all the time. Well, how do you know what's actually helping? Like if you start all these things at one time, and I understand what they're saying. I didn't personally, I'm like, I don't care what it is that's working. If it is working, I will take all of it. It doesn't matter. Like, but I feel like that question stems from the Western medicine philosophy of one pill fixes one thing. And I think it takes people a lot of time to realize that there is that synergistic effect with herbs and supplements that may not cancel out a specific symptom, but promote general wellness and health, which only helps. You know, it only can help.
Yeah, it seems to be like a long-term plan almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because yes, I agree with you that I would rather just be taking some stuff that is just having no effect, a sort of a wider protocol that is having an effect. But I feel in a way that in many ways you do know what's working for you. If you're taking things together and you're seeing an effect, you in my opinion, you generally seem to know which bits of it seem to be working together. If you're aware and you're keeping an eye on your symptoms in relation to when you're taking, you know, various tablets or herbal supplements or whatever, then you can find a way through it that doesn't waste too much time or money, you know.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say that because initially it's like, okay, give me whatever you think might work and help. But then as you do become accustomed to how your body is responding to things, you can tell, you can tell, okay, yeah, if I quit taking that for a week, I notice something. So I'm going to make sure and keep taking that one. And yeah, but it is it's a journey.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, it's such a long-term thing too. Cause I mean, it was, you know, my upbringing was Western medicine, take this pill and you should feel it within 2 to 6 hours. Well, that doesn't work with herbal supplements. It's a lot longer period, you know, weeks to months is very common. And for me to, you know, overcome that hurdle, that was an important part for me because I needed to understand, okay, this is something I have to do long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's worth saying as well that, you know, with anything that's removing an infection, you may feel worse before you feel better, which is a sort of confusing paradox. But if you do feel worse on a treatment, especially sort of natural treatments, I believe that's a good sign. You know, it shows something is taking place in your body. And if it lines up with the symptoms of a Herx reaction, even better, you know.
For nearly 2 decades, Invita Medical Center has been leading the way with the latest in personalized treatment options designed for patients dealing with Lyme disease complex. At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach and the latest technology regarding treatment and testing at an unmatched, radical love and care environment for their patients. Call to speak to one of the patient care coordinators today to learn why hundreds of patients choose Invita Medical Center each year. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Hi guys, I want to let you know about a book I wrote called Little Bite, Big Trouble, and I'm going to read a review that recently came in. This is from Carolyn, and she says, "Thank you so much for writing your book. It has become the means by which I have explained Lyme to my 4-year-olds. They ask for it to be read as a bedtime story over and over again, and love that the mama birdie does yoga and juicing like their mommy. I can't thank you enough for writing this book. It has helped my family so much." You can find it today at Amazon.com, Little Bite, Big Trouble. You know, you kind of mentioned it. You said one of your first mistakes was getting on IV antibiotics right away. But I was going to ask you, what is one of those biggest lessons learned for you as far as your treatment? Like, I didn't even know I had Lyme when I did my first course of antibiotics because I had one of my co-infections come up. And the doctor I was seeing was like, you know, this could be related to something bigger. Totally casual, like, oh, here, let's start this hugely insane heavy dose of antibiotics without telling, I wasn't doing any immune support, had no idea, like, without even, hey, by the way, this is going to make you feel like death. I mean, I could barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was in exactly the same position, you know, I was bedbound and I just had to stop, you know, I believed it was killing me, you know, I didn't think. I guess what it comes down to, if you're saying about the lesson learned, is trust your body. You know, your body will let you know what's going on, and if you feel that it's getting too heavy, then stop. You know, and equally on the other side, you know, when you do feel a benefit from something, that's a good thing, and you should trust that, despite what, you know, the doctors may say. You could have a very conservative doctor that who didn't believe in, you know, the effect of herbs, but if they are working for you, then, you know, don't stop.
Yeah. So you have come a long way, and I want to spend some time just talking about the living aspect of your life. And now what you're able to do and what you are able to do for your coaching clients, I'm assuming you're in maintenance mode at this point. Are you doing maintenance mode? What is the primary focus of your goal in helping people in a coaching on a coaching platform?
Right. Okay. Yes. So, I mean, about me, I'm I still take the majority of my supplements just because I'm interested in, you know, the best possible health I can have. In terms of sort of where I am now compared to where I was, I was bedbound. My heart was giving out. Mm. Last week, I went on a 1.5 mile run. So, I mean, that's the difference, I suppose. I run this business now. I'm a musician. I'm very into my music. I play music. And I guess the biggest thing is just sort of a feeling of relief that I'm not having to fight through every moment of every day.
Yeah.
And that is, when you hit that point, that's an incredible feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we look at each other constantly throughout the day, and we have these little moments where I'm like, you know, even when things are really rough, we can still look back and say, you know what? But you weren't throwing up for the last 30 minutes. So even though yes, you do feel nauseated and you have a headache, you weren't throwing up. So let's, you know, and then there's moments where everything's fine and you just have to celebrate those.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, one of my doctors said to me that I would never fully recover, and that I would never be able to run a marathon.
Mm.
He sort of said jokingly. So I'd really like to run a marathon.
Awesome.
Now.
That would be awesome.
A great way to sort of, you know, stick it to them a little bit.
Yeah.
But you asked me what I was. Yeah. How I helped people.
Yeah.
Through my website. And I mean, basically the idea is you can chat to me for free, you know. I'm always happy to chat, and I can give you my non-professional medical opinion on what is happening to you. And it's really interesting. I mean, you alluded to this before we went on air, which was that most people's stories have really striking similarities. Just because the general medical profession doesn't really understand these types of illnesses doesn't mean there aren't clear trends that, you know, you can help people with. And that's basically what the site aims to do.
Hmm. How significant, James, has it been for you, the recovery of the emotional side of things? Because for me, there was this huge relief. I went out to a treatment center in 2013 and they stopped the pain. And for me, that like just opened this floodgate of grief and trauma and loss, you know, because I think I understood I wasn't going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I had hope for recovery. And I say this every episode, but it's so true. Like the recovery of the emotional side of things after so many years of loss and so many of those ingrained thought patterns are tremendously hard to change, especially for me after this like 15-year period of chronic fatigue and 10 years of pain. It is ingrained in my psyche to try not to move, to try not to expend energy, and especially if I go downhill at all, which I've been, January's been a really hard month for me, I have to consciously, like minute by minute, tell myself it's okay to move.
Mm. Yeah, I agree that there is a large emotional component. In the UK, people are often accused of this illness being a mental illness. And I want to make it clear that it's most definitely not a mental illness. But
yeah,
what does happen is that if you're ill for that long, you know, there is a huge emotional toll. I think the thing that really helped me in that regard was meditation.
Hmm.
I'm really big on meditation. It's just a way of addressing those emotional traumas on a physical level. You release it on a physical level, and I couldn't really explain to you how the science works, but I've felt so much calmer, and I definitely think it's helped with my healing.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't think. I think meditation proves you can't really divide the brain and the body up. You know,
right.
they work together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I learned from that, I think.
Yeah, and that's been true for us too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Meditation, yoga, prayer, mm-hmm. different aspects, but
I mean, just a simple act of stopping and taking a deep breath 3 or 4 times a day is hugely I mean, it just calms your mind just for a second.
There is a documentary called Feel Rich. It's on Netflix for anyone interested. And it's about this like food revival going on within the rapping industry in the United States.
The hip hop.
And it was fascinating because a bunch of these guys are dying in their 20s, 30s, and 40s of heart attack and diabetes and all these different aspects. But within that, they feature this program that I had heard about where they bring in meditation to inner city schools, and just doing 30 minutes a day. And I think it's 15 minutes in the evening, morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon. Wow. Like, it's just huge. But it's done huge things for kids in elementary school.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing tool. I guess you can go quite deep into the rabbit hole with meditation. But I mean, there are just so many studies and studies that sort of defy belief, you know, like entire cities, crime rates going down when various meditation camps moved in, you know, and that kind of thing. Just, you know, really crazy research. So, I'm definitely big on meditation.
And do you have a book you would recommend to anyone interested in diving into that? Is there YouTube videos you recommend?
It's sort of funny meditation because you're trying to explain how not to think.
Right.
You know, and I guess the most famous one would be The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And it's sort of a funny book genre because they're writing about something that they can't really explain. So they're sort of trying to use language to describe it, but really it's just sort of a feeling, and it's quite simple, really. I mean, you just need to sit and you need to breathe and focus on your breath and focus on whatever is going on without judgment, and that is essentially it. And then it starts to deepen, and you start to, you know, things start to come up, you know, emotions and sort of, you know, perhaps past traumas and that sort of thing. And you just have to sort of accept whatever's happening to you. And over time, it just becomes this incredible sort of healing technology, you know.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, too, that you just get better at. The more you practice, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I realized when I first started thinking, oh, yeah, I get this now, is that you don't need that much time away from your mind to recover. You know, you just need a few moments of space every day to just quieten down a little bit. And that's enough to just power you up, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, because, I mean, really, you know, one of the goals of the podcast is just to gather resources. And, you know, we've heard this from many people, including yourself, and it's, you know, it's one of those great reminders just to keep doing that. I have not been doing it much lately, but just taking the time and to be quiet and.
Well, one of the things I like about meditation and yoga, well, yoga is a little different, but one of the things I like about meditation is that it's about being instead of doing. Mm-hmm. And I remember like reading about that initially in my recovery, trying to wrap my mind around it because I had to do everything. And once I started doing more meditation, there was a freedom in it because anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. Like, my legs don't have to be working that day. My brain doesn't even really have to be working that day. It's just this like conscious choice to set this time aside. And we've been doing this on and off fasting over the last 30 days and are continuing it throughout the year to do just different types of fasts. And fasting is in that category too. Like, it doesn't take anything from you. You don't have to have any resources. It's kind of just this mental thing. And once you implement it, really brings forth a lot of healing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I mean, what is your experience been of that? I mean, I've been really interested in perhaps trying fasting.
You know, I used it to get off of, I did water fasting. There's a great documentary called The Science of Fasting. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And it talks about all that goes into fasting. And within 48 hours of fasting, your body kicks in these major immune boosters and protects cells and attacks bad cells. And it does all this profound stuff. And really, for me, it helped me get off this really heavy sleep medication that I've been on that helped control neurological twitching and stuff at night. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to get off of it before and not succeeded. And so this was, I've been off of it for several weeks now, but
it was her last medicine.
Yeah. It was my last.
Her last, oh, that's awesome.
Her last prescription.
Yeah, it really was. And then I felt good. I felt calm. I felt centered. And then I lost it when I went off of it. And I'm actually back on it this week again.
On fasting, yeah.
Yeah, we're both fasting during the weekday because it is about that sense of being and not having to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there's a level of healing and all that. It's crazy.
This has been a great talk. Thank you, James.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's been really nice. And I've learned something as well.
So we've talked a little bit about your business. If people want to get a hold of you more, why don't you just list your website? We'll also put it in the links. And anything else you'd like to share before
And I think you had started to say you do a free consultation with anyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice and informal. Just send me an email and I'd be happy to chat to whoever wants to talk about their condition. The website is www.chronicfatiguesyndrometreatment.co.uk, and that has all the resources on, and I have a guide called JK's Handy Guide to Chronic Fatigue, which basically just lists the sort of the things that I found worked best and the various my scientific understanding of chronic illness and that sort of thing. Yeah, that should be everything that people need.
And is that the broad term that you mentioned as far as in the UK, everything is under chronic fatigue syndrome?
Right. So I think chronic fatigue is a bit of a misnomer. It's just sort of a blanket term to describe Lyme disease, mold, co-infections, mm-hmm. glandular fever, you know, all these kind of things. And yeah, basically the website just tries to deconstruct that and get a bit more specific about what's making you ill.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because I mean, we meet people all the time and they'll say, well, yeah, we have a lot of those symptoms and it's chronic fatigue. And then they'll say, oh, but we've been tested for Lyme. We came up negative. And you know, inside as you're talking to them, you're like, oh.
I think this is something to say to the people in the UK as well, is that even if you've had both NHS tests and they've both come back negative, that doesn't mean you don't have Lyme, because I had that and, you know, I was as bad as people get, really.
Yeah.
And I still had Lyme. So just be aware that it's a very elusive bacteria and you do have to get the sort of world-class testing to mm-hmm. really track it down.
Do you think that there's like a shifting within the public consciousness of those facts, that the way things are being done isn't working for all these chronic long-term illnesses? Like, is that coming? Do you sense that?
Yeah, I think in the general public consciousness, definitely. I think less so in the sort of conventional medical establishment. I mean, we have some interesting things going on here in the UK. The guidelines for ME and CFS have just been put under review. At the moment, they only offer sort of very basic sort of exercise therapy and that sort of thing, which sometimes can be, you know, even detrimental. So there will be a review to see what else they can offer. And I hope I can sort of lend my arguments to that. So that's quite exciting. But I think the perception has changed a lot more in the public, because they have access to all these resources online now. And did you see that Jennifer Breyer documentary?
What is it called?
Unrest.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, so good. Yeah, we need so many more. I love those films.
Yeah, I really felt that she just captured it so perfectly. You know, I felt really uplifted after watching it, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's just a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of layers to it.
And people's stories are so powerful. I mean, that's just one of the things I always take away from these interviews is just to, you know, talk to guys like yourself, James, and hear the overcoming that you had to do, the struggle that was there. It just inspires me to do better. Even though I've never been diagnosed with Lyme directly, I still draw so much from the strength that the average Lymey has. And in order to recover from that, in order not to lay down and die, I mean, just the strength involved in that just is so encouraging to me.
Oh, well, that's really nice to hear. yeah, I'm glad we're having an impact.
Yeah.
So, James, in conclusion, can you leave us with just something that's impacting your soul right now? A book, a documentary, an aha moment?
Yeah. The aha moment, I suppose, is that there is always a reason for illness. I can't remember whose book I got the quote from, but it was one of the top Lyme doctors, and what they were saying was there's always a reason. We're told in the UK quite a lot that this is just the way it is, or it's age or something like that. Mm. But I guess I would just say to the people who are listening that just keep researching, you know, if you can, and just see what's out there, you know, see what's possible that you might have. Because if we hadn't gone to America, you know, I wouldn't be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about taking those extra steps to just delve into it a bit more. And it's not fair, you know, it's not fair that the average person has to treat themselves. But, you know, that's, as you say, that is the journey. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think when people know that there are answers out there, even if they haven't found them yet, then that can be really... really motivating, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's been for me. Every time I pick up a book, you know, by a new author, and there's some books like Dr. Rawls, I think he does a great job of addressing the emotional and here's the supplements to take, the, you know, the physical attack of the Lyme and co-infections. Then, you know, and then there's some like Dr. Horowitz who really just focus on the physical side of things and what to do. And yet they're both all, every single book to me contains some level of a nugget of wisdom because of that whole thing. Okay, these people have all recovered. They don't have all the answers, but here's two things I can take away from that author that I can implement or that I can reflect on. And yeah, I think that is. I think it's powerful. And I think the more we all tell our stories, the more it lengthens the journey for those coming behind us.
Yeah. Like where you said that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, you said, you know, what do you think is happening in the consciousness at the moment? I think one thing that is happening is that all these separate pieces of information are coalescing, you know, they're coming together. And whereas before, you know, you only had one person who knew about mold and one person who knew about Lyme, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now all this information is sort of joining together in a web, and it's much easier to track down.
Yeah.
From all these different points, you know. So there's less books you have to read, you know, I suppose.
Thank God for the internet, man.
Yeah, I know.
I've thought that so many times. I'm like, I would be dead without the internet.
Yeah, same here, yeah.
Yeah. Well, James, thanks so much for being with us today.
Wishing your doctors could communicate and come up with a cohesive plan specific to your medical needs and genetics? At Invita Medical Center, they offer a team-style approach, giving you the opportunity to heal. In addition to a commitment of providing radical love and care for their patients, they are strategically located in sunny Arizona because Arizona offers the best integrative medical laws in the country. Call today to speak with one of their patient care coordinators. You can find them online at Invita.com.
Disease is contrary to life. Therefore, wherever disease exists, life must also fight to exist.
Good job fighting, Lyme fighters. Keep it up. We'll see you next time.
Lyme Voice contains general information about medical conditions and treatments. The information is not advice and should not be treated as such. Okay, Lincoln?
Okay.
The medical information on Lyme Voice is provided as is without any representations, warranties, expressed or implied. Okay?
Okay.
Lyme Voice makes no representations or warranties in relation to the medical information on this podcast. You must not rely on the information on this podcast as an alternative to medical advice from your doctor or other professional health care provider. If you have any specific questions about your medical matter, you should consult your doctor or other professional health care provider. And for you, you consult your parents, okay?
Okay.
If you think you may be suffering from any medical condition, you should seek immediate medical attention. You should never delay seeking medical advice, disregard medical advice, or discontinue medical treatment because of information on this podcast. Got it, Lincoln?
Got it.